This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our microlearning podcast entitled How to Measure and Demonstrate the Value of KM. My name is Daniel Wood, and I'm the Director of Counsel Assistance at Womble Bond Dickinson. Today, we're happy to have with us Holly Hanna, who is the KM firm's Solutions Manager at Perkins Coie. She's going to share her expertise with us. So we're going to dive right in. Today, really, we're going to talk about qualitative and quantitative measurements of KM that demonstrate the value of it to senior leadership and others across the firm. So Holly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here, Daniel.
All right. Well, just sort of to begin with an overarching question, why is it important to measure KM programs?
Well, you know, I mean, it's hard to measure KM programs in a quantitative way, really. We can't draw a line between a particular KM initiative or solution and increased production, for example. But we do know that KM programs are incredibly valued by attorneys and increasingly by clients. We see that a lot in RFPs where clients ask us specifically about our KM programs. Finding a way to tell that story that uses concrete numbers is a huge part of how we sell KM both to practices and to the firm leadership.
That's a great point. Well, I guess sort of the follow-on to that is there a baseline or a standard set of metrics that firms should be using when thinking about measuring the value of KM programs?
Absolutely. I would say that adoption and usage metrics are both incredibly important in terms of setting a baseline metric for your KM programs and KM solutions. When you think about adoption metrics, though, you have to think about what percentage of your target audience is leveraging a particular solution. And when you think about your target audience, you need to be really, really explicit about who you mean. So it might mean all attorneys in a specific practice. But it's more likely to mean something like maybe it's first and second year associates in a specific practice or in a specific specialty. So you want to make sure that you're defining who your target audience is and then defining what percentage of those individuals you want to reach with your solution. Usage metrics are also important. You want to see how frequently people in your target audience are coming back to your solution. It's entirely possible to have high adoption where you have lots of people in your target audience using your solution, but low usage insofar as maybe they use it once or twice, but it's not a routine part of their daily experience. The combination of these two metrics, adoption and usage, when you properly define them, will provide a solid foundation for telling your KM success stories.
Those are two excellent points, and that sort of leads us to our next question. And I think you alluded to this a little bit when we were talking about the first question, measuring the value, when you mentioned that clients are even asking about this sometimes in RFPs. But how can you tie KM programs to client activities?
Well, I think it depends on the tool or solution you're talking about. Here at Perkins Coie, we have a KM innovations team that really does focus primarily on client-facing KM solutions. So in that instance, we're really able to see the usage of the solutions as well as gather feedback from the client via the client lead. So again, we're not necessarily drawing a direct line between the solution and production numbers, but a happy client is generally a sticky client, and sticky clients are really good for the firm.
that's an excellent point, and generally true for all law firms. That's exactly right.
And for more traditional KM solutions, you know, you may want to survey your attorneys and ask them whether these solutions help them do client work, or whether it would cost more, take longer, or make them more responsive, or make them less responsive, excuse me, to the client if they didn't have access to these tools. So it's more of a qualitative measurement in this instance, but it's still an important way of kind of demonstrating the impact of your solutions, of your tools on your attorneys and therefore on your clients.
Excellent point. Well, now, and I know it's always an important part of the meetings and sessions that we have, because we love to talk about theory, and that's absolutely the right thing to do. But are there any success stories that you can share with us during the pandemic that where a KM program has really demonstrated value in your firm, or even ones that you've heard of in discussions with your colleagues?
Yeah, I would say that the success of our KM program over the last 6 months has really revolved around our ability to change direction rapidly and provide tools and solutions that attorneys need right here and right now, rather than kind of pulling from our existing toolkit and trying to find a solution that works for this unprecedented time in our lives. So this means everything from providing a space for attorneys to get the latest information related to court closures and stay home orders in March, to improving the usability of our practice sites on our intranet and the usefulness of the content that's made available. And in both those instances, you know, attorneys are really moving towards those solutions and really embracing them. Similarly, client-facing KM solutions, including dashboards, have become much more heavily used both by our firm attorneys and clients in this remote environment. I would say that really highlighting what we do, but also like looking at our toolkit and figuring out how we can use these things in a more innovative way in order to meet specific requirements of our attorneys and our clients has been a key part of our KM success during the pandemic.
Excellent. Last big question, and then I just have a couple of follow-ups based on some of the things that you mentioned. You sort of talked about this a little bit with the metrics question, but can metrics help drive user adoption, do you think, in what you've seen in your experience dealing with your attorneys and team members?
I would say if they're driving a larger change management process, they absolutely can. A metric by itself is just a number. It doesn't really tell you anything. But if you use that number to drive initiatives forward and identify places where you can improve, then absolutely you can increase your user adoption. So an example of that would be if you roll out a solution with one group of attorneys, you test it and validate it, you get feedback, you measure your usage, you measure your adoption. And then using that information, you roll it out to the next group. And it's a way of building momentum around a particular solution. And another piece of this too, when you think about adoption, is when you highlight how people's peers are using a particular solution and the impact it's having, it's really an effective way to persuade others to give it a chance. So when you start small and you kind of expand out, it's a way for people to start building that word of mouth around, oh, this is a really great solution. It's really helped me in this way. So in general, we kind of like look at it in terms of like the metric is just a number, but the number can tell you a story and it can tell you how you can improve.
Excellent. Sort of a follow-on to that. Have you noticed any generational differences in the way these things are being adopted, particularly during the pandemic? Older attorneys surprised you with sort of the way they've embraced some of this when maybe they had resisted it before?
Yeah, it's been really interesting in terms of, you know, there are some technology solutions that our older attorneys were, you know, pretty leery of. Traditionally, you know, it's just like, mm-hmm. Well, you know, we don't need to do that. It seems very like overkill. We don't really need that. But when everybody went home and we kind of had to start thinking about different ways of doing the same work, all of a sudden these tools and these technologies became incredibly valuable to them. So an example of that I've talked about previously is Microsoft Teams. We spun up a team site for our labor group to kind of talk about those stay-at-home orders, you know, different things like that early on. It was a private place for them to share information and ask questions without it being broadcast to the entire firm. And they really embraced it. And, you know, it's rare that you roll out a tool to a group of attorneys and have no questions about how it works. But I had no questions from any of them about how Teams work. And they created channels and it was like they were really going to town with it.
Wow, that is a great success story. And sort of playing on that theme, did you have to or did you, I guess, recruit champions first? Or did it sort of grow organically that people embraced this and then sort of took it to their colleagues and maybe even the skeptics?
It was actually very organic. You know, they Wow. reached out to us and said, we need a way that's not email because we all have too much email. We need a way that's not email to share this information, ask questions, provide links, documents, things like that. And so we were like, well, you know, as long as you don't put any client confidential information in it, you can use Teams. And here's what it looks like. And we just created it for them and they went to town with it.
That is, again, an excellent success story and one I think we can all definitely learn from. Well, Holly, we really do appreciate your time today and sharing your knowledge and expertise. I think we'll all take away a happy client is a sticky client. It's a great piece of advice for us going forward. Anything that you want to leave our listeners with as we wrap up our session today?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, when you think about your metrics, think about the story you're trying to tell and the way that you want to position your program when you talk both to attorneys and also to your leadership, because that's going to really inform how you measure your programs.
Excellent advice. Well, thanks again, Holly. Thanks to everyone in the membership for listening. We hope you found this to be a useful and informative session. Thanks very much.
Daniel.
Thanks, Holly.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.